Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back with you to talk about week six of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. A lot to talk about. We met a new couple, or at least half of a couple, or maybe the whole couple here this week. And we're going to talk about it here with a man who watches everything that goes on in the 90 Day universe. Please welcome in Puya, the Hitman Zambakili.
Hey, thank you for having me back, Rob. I'm very excited to talk about all this. I don't know about the Hitman, but I mean, it's a new nickname. I will take it. fun episode, though. Fun episode.
Depends who you ask. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What did you feel about the episode?
I mean, I think that was fun for us. Maybe not for all the people on the show. I don't think it was super fun for Gino.
It's never fun for them.
Not a great week for Mike.
Mike had an L. Gino took an L. I think new man Ben is going to take a huge one. Hamza. Mm-hmm. None of the men had a victory this
Memphis
game.
Memphis got
week.
Some L's also this week. Yeah. Also, yeah. Okay. All right. So a lot to break down. Puya, how have you been this week?
I've been good, Rob. I've been good. This past week, I had a lot of fun with my streaming and continuing that trend this week. And, you know, kicking it off with the podcast is always a good way to start. So, can't complain.
Okay. All right. Puya, we have a new person to talk about, and that is Ben. And I guess the couple is technically Ben and Mahogany.
That's right. Benjamin and Mahogany. Benjamin's 52 from Michigan. Okay. He's all about fitness. And Mahogany is a woman he has met through the internet, who hails from Peru.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So excited to talk about Ben. This is a brand new story. I got a lot of setup. I think that there is a great history on 90 Day Fiancé of the person who comes in sort of like 6 weeks in. You know that this is going to be very messy and maybe might burn bright and hot and fast.
Yeah, very short and sweet potentially here with Ben. I mean, especially with the cast this stacked, I'm surprised we get a Benjamin this late. But also after hearing the story, my surprise evaporated very quickly, Rob.
Okay, so let's talk about Ben. Ben is a fitness model, but I guess he's got sort of like a dad strength fitness model.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't have the dad bod. He's a little bit more shredded than that. Mm-hmm. But turns out that recently he had been offered a position as a fitness model. And that's what he's been doing these last couple of years. So yes. He loves taking care of his body.
We see him then measuring his body fat with calipers. Did you catch the reading there?
I cannot say that I did, Rob. Did you catch that?
24%, I think, is what he said. That sounds high. I'm not sure he knows how to use those correctly.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, we're talking single digits is impressive. 24 doesn't sound impressive. I feel like I have 24%.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that if you can, if they're taking pictures of you to see your abs, I think that 24%, I think, isn't getting it done.
Right. So I don't know. I think he read it wrong because he doesn't seem like he's got that 24% and that modeling body. So
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And we can sort of do the simple math here because that he weighed what? 200 pounds.
203.
Yeah. And so if basically his body fat is close to 25%, does he seem like he's carrying 50 pounds of body fat to you?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think so whatsoever.
Hey, this is not a fitness podcast. I'm just something that I look, based on what we know about Ben, I'm just saying perhaps he is not reading the instruments correctly.
Yeah, no, and you are 100% right. This isn't a fitness podcast. It's more of a finesse podcast in that everyone's finessing each other on these shows. But no, I mean, I think he read him wrong. But, you know, he's a fit guy, so I'll give him that.
Okay. All right. Ben grew up in, he says, sort of like a cult.
Yeah.
Cult
adjacent. The literal, I rewound a couple of times to make sure I write it word for word. He said that he was part of a fringe religion of a mainstream Baptist denomination, like a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Sounds exciting.
I mean, so far, so good, right? I'm excited to hear more about this man, Ben, 52-year-old from Michigan. What else does he have to offer?
Okay, so Ben got involved with a woman who was also in the, you know, pseudo cult.
Yeah, so he ended up becoming a pastor, and he met someone through his community and married that person and then proceeded to have four kids with the person.
Yeah. Okay. So he has four kids. And then what happened? They were having marital issues and they left the cult, or left the cult and then proceeded to have marital issues.
So it sounds like they left the cult in an attempt to save the marriage. Yeah. But then after 24 years of neglect, we filed for divorce. It sounds like the love was long gone in this marriage.
Puya, I'm reading between the lines here, but I'm suspecting that Ben's ex-wife maybe didn't want to leave the cult.
Ooh, I mean, we did see her a little later and we heard words like resent. So potentially, maybe you think he forced their hand at the move out and then it caused more friction?
I'm wondering that. I feel like that Ben had a little bit of like, Ben is restless. Okay. He's like, I'm not happy here. I think we need to leave the cult. I think that's what this marriage needs. Like, okay, fine. Let's leave the cult to save the marriage. And then they got out of the cult. And then he's like, you know what? I'm still not feeling this. I think we need to split up.
Damn. I mean, I don't know what the repositioning is. Like, could someone re-enter the cult after they've left the cult?
Probably shunned. Because in the cult, I think if you get divorced, you are going to, I think that like in the cult, I think they told you if you get divorced, well, you go into a pit of fire. And then he's like, well, I've got to get out of the cult before I get the divorce. So then they left the cult. And then maybe he said, okay, oh, great. Now we can do the divorce. And now I think the ex-wife is maybe like, well, now what am I supposed to do? I can't go back to the cult and the pit of fire.
Right. And he used this word that I had to look up to learn about. He said that if you didn't obey, you were castigated and shunned. So apparently castigated
like
is
shut out, right?
Reprimand like someone severely.
Yeah. All right. So he also got a motorbike. He says, I know it might seem like I'm having a midlife crisis, but that's definitely not the case.
Yeah, definitely. Someone who was in a religious setting, in a cult setting, leaving it, getting divorced, and then getting a bike does not scream midlife at all, whatsoever. He's also right.
Dating a 24-year-old that they met on a dating app.
Yep. Definitely. All healthy.
Those are no way. That is, if you look up midlife crisis in the dictionary, that is not what you would find.
No. The only thing he was missing was a motorcycle jacket, which I did not see.
Okay. All right. So Ben got on a dating website and he met the most remarkable woman that he got a post from Mahogany.
Yes. So he said he had a bunch of failed relationships and then he, quote, took a year and a half off dating. And then Mahogany actually liked a bunch of his modeling photos, and then he slid in the DMs with a wave, and she hit him back. Classic. And then he says, and we've been talking every day for the last 115 days.
Boom. That's it.
115 days, Rob. That's less than 4 months of talking.
Yeah, 115-day fiancé.
That's all it took.
Yeah. And so he's hooked. They are soulmates.
Yep. And she has a love for the Lord, which he felt like he doesn't get often. And he also did mention that, you know, he, with the dating stuff that didn't work out, he had said that he wants to wait before marriage and that, you know, they have to love the Lord. And she's checking those boxes, Rob. Mahogany, tick, tick, tick. No boom yet.
No, that's different. Okay. Yeah. So she one time told him, Benjamin, you deserve to be loved. And that was just the best thing that she could say.
He makes it sound like he's never heard that. 52 years, he's never heard that? I doubt it. Either that or I'm just sad for him that he's not heard anyone say that to him before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to see Ben get together with his friends. Okay. And it seems like a cool friend group.
Yeah, I mean, we met, what, Charlie, Jason, Jessica. They're at some brunch spot. Everything looked great. They seemed like nice people.
The core four, yeah. And so, hey, guess what, everybody? I am talking to somebody online. Like, okay, go ahead.
Tell us more.
Tell us more. She lives in Peru. We've been talking for 3 months, and she's a little bit younger.
Just a little.
A little bit. A little bit. How young? 24.
Yeah. So the age difference is 28 years of difference.
Yep.
Meaning the age difference is bigger than her age, which, you know, is a lot.
Is that is that frowned upon?
I mean, I don't know about frowned upon. His friends were frowning upon it a whole lot, though. They were like, what are you doing, sir? Stop it.
Well, we're going to find out over the course of meeting Ben that this is not the first sort of interesting situation Ben has put himself in. He recently, his last like serious romantic interest was also a younger woman who was 28, who we find out later wanted to him to distance himself from his family. But what I can say in Ben's defense is she was actually, in fact, a real person.
She was a real person. He had met her months after the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gotten engaged, but then she wanted the distance. He was not willing to give her the distance. But in fact, she was a real human woman.
Okay. All right. Well, she was real. Now, also, there was another time when he also got catfished by a man.
Indeed.
That is also a thing that happened. Okay.
So, yes.
You know, he's batting 500. Still pretty good. That's that you bat 500 in baseball, Puya. You were going to the Hall of Fame.
True, but also.
And his first wife was a real woman, so that's batting 666. Oh, mark of the beast. Watch out. Uh oh. Don't tell the cult.
Well, most people, Rob, are batting 100 as far as dating a non-catfish. That doesn't happen often.
Not everybody.
Not everyone. Not everyone. But so he has been catfished before. And obviously that makes his friends a little bit shifty about the fact that he's met someone online only 115 days. And then they start poking him, Rob. They start poking him with some questions. Yeah. Well, have you video chatted?
Yes. No, I've not video chatted, but there's a good reason. She's shy.
Good enough reason for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in this day and age with this technology, that's a huge red flag. Because
yes, in fairness, there are a lot of 24-year-old women who are model actress types who are very shy and very good at using filters on their phone, but also very shy and don't want to appear on FaceTime on a phone.
That's fair. That's fair, but we also have to look at the nature of this relationship. Sounds like they're very close. And my next question would have been, are you getting voice notes? Because voice notes are very important.
Okay.
Even the voice notes.
He said no. He has spoken to her on the phone twice.
Twice in 115 days. That's not a good record, Rob.
That's not a good record, but I will say I have spoken on the phone twice is something.
It is something, but all that could potentially confirm is that one of two things. Either this person's very tech savvy and was able to morph their voice to sound different, or they are indeed a human woman. And at least he knows he's not getting catfished in that sense, but he still doesn't necessarily know if mahogany is mahogany.
Or maybe it's a scenario of it's like, hey, I got a live one on the line. Can you talk to this guy for 5 minutes?
Yeah, just jump on Fiverr. You're like, I need you to talk to someone on the phone for me for like 2 minutes. $15. Is that cool? Yes.
Sure. All right. So talked on the phone. Okay. But she sent me a video. Okay. Can we see the video? The prosecution would like to submit the video as Exhibit A.
Mm-hmm. Put it in the evidence.
Okay. It's like, well, of course, like, obviously, I have a video. Here's the video. This was the shadiest video that I've ever seen, that the video was like, hi, this is Mahogany.
That was it. It was a Vine. It was not a TikTok. It was a full-on 7-second Vine. All she said was, it's Mahogany. It could have been anybody. There was no personal names mentioned. There was no today's date. Nothing.
Yeah, like this is like somebody's vlog that was just like somebody's TikTok that they just sent this man.
I think that this is a video that whoever is playing Mahogany has that they've cut up. And it's just like the intro. Like you said, it could be a YouTube video that they just took the beginning of and used. But that was enough for Ben, Rob. He fully is like, that's it. I have proof. I'm good. I'm content.
Yeah. He's like, see, this is a video. And like, I don't know about this video. Okay, how about this, Ben? Has she asked you for any money? Because usually when it's a shady catfish situation, they're going to ask you for money. Ben says, no, absolutely not.
But
she asked for a loan. That's different. That's not free money, Puya.
You have to pay back your loan, so technically that's fair. How much was the loan for? Oh, $1,000. Seems great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, so far, just getting scammed for $1,000. I mean,
that's not a lot.
He's doing okay right now.
Yeah. If this person is using this Mahogany character to scam like four other people for $1,000, that's not bad change. So actually, the fact that it's a smaller amount makes me more concerned and sure that this is someone who is a professional at catfishing.
Start small.
Yeah. Everyone at this table, except for Ben, is now concerned even more that this is, in fact, a fake person trying to get you to give them money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So friends are very concerned. We think you're getting scammed. It's like, no. I can assure you that I'm not. Even though I have been catfished before by a man, just as you know, doesn't mean it's happening again.
This is different. He literally said, I think she's my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right. So Puya, let's get Ben's family back in the mix because he's going to tell the kids, but unfortunately also Ben's ex-wife is coming along and she seems like she might put a damper on the celebration.
Yeah. When the ex-wife pulls up, you can tell he is not happy about this because he was going to tell his kids about Mahogany today. And now the ex-wife's here who's not happy with him already. No.
And her vibe isn't like, hey, let's party.
No, she does not give me party vibes at all.
No,
at all.
No, definitely not. So he says the relationship with his ex is cold.
That's putting it lightly. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a little bit more than cold. It was freezing.
Yeah. Yeah. Call her Elsa.
Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Okay. So they're going to have a big dinner. We have hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, you said big dinner. It was hot dogs. They were having hot dogs, which, again, you throw hot dogs on the grill. They're not bad. I'll have one.
Not bad, for sure. But I feel like that's like a warm up. How many hot dogs are we having?
Right. But also, how many is that all our guy Ben can make? I don't think we've seen him chefing up. So,
Yeah. OK. So he says grace and then has an announcement to make about, hey, everybody, I have a new relationship and she lives in Peru and she's 24 and it goes over amazing.
They sound very keen. The youngest, Joy, asks for a picture. He shows her a picture of Mahogany and the youngest like, that's fake. That is not a real person.
That's the fakest picture I've ever seen.
And low-key, I trust if a teenager tells me something's fake, I trust them. They know better. They know better.
They know better, certainly, than Ben in his 50s, who was in the cult for his whole life, and maybe like not super savvy with the tech.
Right. And the Ben,
and who's been catfished before.
His stats not looking good for him knowing what he's saying. And then I feel like Ben just, he speaks stuff that are red flags, but I don't think he's recognized them. So he tells them, yeah, like she's not met any of you before, but she loves all of you and she's praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you see that you're being told exactly what you want to hear with that? Like, she has no idea who your family is.
Right. But it's like, oh, I mean, I guess she's praying for me. All right. I guess I was going to say she's fake, but now she says she's praying for me. So, Ben's ex says, this sounds a lot like the last one that was 18 mm-hmm. years younger than you. Like, no, this is different.
This one's fake. This one's a catfish. So.
Yeah, see, that was a real woman who was 28. This is a fake catfish who's 24. So it's actually a lot different.
Man. It's like, would you rather have a real person that you're engaged to who doesn't want you to be with your family, or a fake person who wants to be with your family but doesn't exist? Which would you rather?
I think that if I was the ex-wife, I think I would rather him being catfished by the fake person as opposed to a real 28-year-old who was telling him to disassociate from the family. Because then at the end of all of this, Puya, she gets to dunk on him like, you idiot, you stupid moron, that you got fooled again by a catfish, that you are like a child. You are incapable of being by yourself. See, you need parental supervision, Ben. You need to be back in the cult.
If I'm the ex-wife, now I'm partying. Now it's turned to a party. I'm excited. Yes. My ex-husband's a dumbass.
And like, I can't wait to meet her.
Bring her
Cheers.
Over.
Cheers. Yeah.
Hot dogs with the family.
Let's all get together. Bring her here. Let me see her.
And knowing what little we know about Ben, if that was her response, he'd be like, they're so supportive of me. They want me mm-hmm. to find love. He might be the dumbest person on this cast, and we've just met him. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of dummies on this cast, Rob.
Yeah. Ben, feels very much like this is, God is putting him in this path. And the ex-wife is like, yeah, was God leading you in the direction of the 28-year-old? Like, no. Okay, that one, I got it. That one was my bad. Okay, that one, I misread the signals on that one.
Yeah, tune into CBS next fall when Ben is the lead in God Ghosted Me. Because there is zero guidance here for this man.
God is not going to give him a wave. God mm-hmm. is not sliding the DMs.
Yeah, it's God Ghosted Me, then season two, God Blocked Me is what's mm-hmm. going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can't wait to see where we're going with Ben. It looks like, Puya, that next week Ben is going to get to the airport. And then it seems like he's going to get a message. Actually, don't come.
Right. Don't show up. And, this is funny because I mentioned this last week, but there is a person from the last season of Before the 90 Day named David, who was in a very similar position to Ben, where like there wasn't a video chatting, nothing like that with his person. And we were all convinced that it was a catfish. And then 10 episodes go by and he meets her in Ukraine. Actually, ghost town in Ukraine, then finally meets her randomly. I think off of that, because that became one of the most viral parts of the show, I could see the producers tracking down Mahogany if Mahogany's a real person that may not know who he is. So we'll have to wait and see with him. But Ben is just going to be fodder, and he's going to be shining bright and dumb the whole way through. And I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll see what goes on with Ben, but I'm so happy for Ben to be thrown into the mix here.
I think he was needed. I think he's good comic relief in a sea of like, I'm sad for this person, that person. Ben is great.
Yeah. We need more Fools on the 90 Day Fiance universe, always.
Yes, and fools who feel very confident in what they're doing. That's what we need.
This is absolutely my soulmate, and I'm definitely not doing the thing that everybody knows is happening to me. That is definitely not happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Puya, why don't we take our first break? When we come back, should we check in with Caleb and Alina?
I know Elijah wants to, okay. So we should too.
Yes, okay. Let's spill the tea, the Tabasco spice, coming up right after this. All right, Puya, let's talk Caleb and Alina. And once again, it's the morning after.
Right. And this time, the deed was done, Rob.
It happened. It was brought in.
Yep, it was signed, sealed, and delivered. They did the thing. And we kind of dive into the pillow talk, the post-pillow talk of, you know, how was it? Was it good for you? And all of that fun stuff that is great to talk about on a pod.
Yeah, so how was the sex? And, you know, Caleb is kind of getting into the play-by-play here. And... there's a lot of things you can do, but I guess some things you can't do. Some of the positions are not as great.
Yes. So we learn that based on their sexcapade, there were some on, you know, the duty learning that Caleb found that, oh, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. And, you know, some moments that Alina felt a little bit awkward with him and didn't want to maybe speak too much because she didn't want to take him out of the mood. So there was a lot of silently figuring out how to enjoy one another for them by the sounds of it. And obviously we hear Caleb describe all of this, and Caleb doesn't do a great job of, you know, always talking about this stuff the nicest. But if we dissect all the stuff, he was trying to learn, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He tells us how, you know, there's a thing where, you know, you could be really good at the sex, but when you're with a little person, it's almost like you're a virgin again.
Yes, which I'm assuming
that was what the song was about, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first time. I mean, to me, that's what it is, right? It's like it sounds like he felt like he had to relearn all the moves, the bad moves and the good moves,
and slam tea and all.
Yeah.
And speaking of the slam tea, like there's a lot of good questions. Like, does she like being thrown around?
Right. That was actually asked. Mm-hmm. Caleb also asked, I didn't hurt you, did I? And Alina was like, no, I liked it. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much does he need to throw her around?
I don't know. I don't know what Caleb's like moves are. And I don't want to know, to be clear. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like he does it. He likes it a little rough. I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they're learning on the fly.
Yeah, they're learning. You know, and that's the thing is, like, you know, everyone learning. Likes it differently and in a different way. So you got to, you know, you learn. You learn each other's, you know, desires as you go along.
Yeah. You know, the brain is the biggest sex organ of them all, Puya. That's communication.
Communication is key, Rob. Mm-hmm. Key to everything. Yes.
Okay. So... they're going to go on, they brush their teeth and, you know, going to go out for a day at the, Turkish Grand Bazaar. Is this a big thing? I had never heard of this before.
Yeah. Bazaar in Farsi is literally like a market. So mm-hmm. this is a very nice, what looks to be like a shopping district, like a little bit traditional shopping district in Turkey that they're going to. And they're going to go with Elijah because Elijah's leaving in two days. So they're going to be left alone after that.
They hyped this up. Like, this seemed like that this could be like a spot on The Amazing Race. The teams will head to the Turkish Grand Bazaar, where they'll have to find a candy amidst all of the charismatic vendors.
or they have to find this specific place and have a tea there and then say these three words to the to the shop owner.
Yeah. In the detour, Disco Stick, the teams will have to navigate something that they've never done before, or...
I looked it up, Rob.
Trying to come up with the alternative for Disco Stick.
They actually did go to Istanbul's Grand Bazaar in Amazing Race 21.
Okay.
There you go. You nailed it.
All right. So, Caleb, by the way, Caleb is, I think we've probably talked about this before. Seems like he's struggling with the mask.
Yeah, I don't think he quite utilizes it proper.
Okay. All right. So Elijah and Alina sit down together and Elijah says, okay, spill the tea. The tea was hot.
Yes. And wait, before we get in there, it's because on the cab ride over to the market, Elijah asked Alina, how was your sleep? And she was like, well, we didn't really get much of that.
Yes.
And
yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah. No, and then when no, the Turkish coffee guy was like, this coffee is going to have, you will not be able to get any sleep. And she's like, oh, we should get more of that.
It's like, all right. If anyone didn't know, these two had sex.
Yes. Yes. We're going to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the rooftops.
Okay. All right. So spill the tea. Elijah wants to know, how was it? Spicy.
Like Tabasco
Yeah.
is the word they use. And Rob, are you a hot sauce guy? I feel like we've talked about this with Tariq before, but let's refresh.
I am not. I'm really just, I mean, you could imagine that. Imagine my palate is just like so bland, not spicy at all. I mean, you could probably, if you would have guessed, right?
I don't know, Rob. I could see you eating hot wings. Like, I could see that.
No, I don't mind a wing, but I feel like I like something that's like a little bit more on the mild, like barbecue side, as opposed to stuff that's real hot.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Then I will speak on behalf of the spicy.
You're
level.
A hot sauce guy.
Big hot sauce guy.
Hella Tabasco, hot sauce.
Chili, ghost pepper, burn your mouth off, Rob. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. So Tabasco's not that spicy, but I figured I picked up what they're putting down, right? They're talking about how it was very, very spicy night because initially Elijah's like, so did you kiss or did you go deeper? And his words, not my words.
Yes. Yes.
And that's when she gives us the infamous line. Yeah. I took a ride on his disco stick, Elijah. What else do you want?
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But then, they sort of pivot, go into more serious talk than that. I thought they would have probably gone into a little bit more details of all that. But Alina would like Caleb to talk about things a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. And this, the pivot really goes even deeper, not the deeper from last
easy,
night.
Easy.
Elijah kind of puts Alina on the spot a little bit and says, well, have you told him about your ex yet? Has that been revealed yet that you lived with him?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Alina's like, well, no. Yeah. And Elijah kind of steps and says, well, do you want me to do it? Cause I'll do it. And she's like, no, he has to hear it from me. And this, Rob, is a great indicator. These two's friendship is they share everything with each other. That's why they're so open about all this stuff out here. So open that he would be willing to do this for her.
Yeah. Puya, where do you think we're going with Alina's ex? Because I feel like in the vacuum of on the scale of 90 day fiance, I have a secret. I need to tell my partner about this thing. I feel like that on I'm trying to think of what the index is of the I had an operation and I can't have kids I guess that's probably on the higher side of like big bombshells to, I've been divorced in the past. Well, I think it was more on the tame side. I feel like this is more on the low side of like that. I was living with my ex, when we first started talking.
Well, I feel like that depends on who you ask, right? Because if someone is a jealous type or a possessive type, they can't handle this kind of news. They'll feel very much like, oh, wow, like you kept this from me. You were probably doing something with them then if that's why, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it varies on the person. But I think this trope we see a lot on 90 Day of, I'm not going to say anything because I want them to still like me and not to ruin anything. So we're going to form this very intimate bond and then I'll tell them.
Yeah. Here's my prediction, Puya, though.
Tell me.
So I think this is like minor on the scale of 90 Day Fiancé bombshells. However, I think your guy Caleb here, he is looking for an out, looking for an exit, and we'll use this as... you were dishonest with me. That's going to be, you know, I was about to commit myself to this relationship and every is going to make you all your dreams come true. And I was about to put my life on hold to completely give myself up to you, but you were dishonest with me and I just can't be with that kind of person.
I 100% co-sign this. First of all, he's not my guy. So don't say your guy, Caleb. I let you go on for a minute, but don't you dare put that on me. I'm not going to forget that. So I 100% think that gaslighty Caleb will use this to his advantage. Mm-hmm. And all will be in his court, and I think he'll utilize it. He reminds me a little bit of someone that you've not met who was on another season of Before the 90 and on this season of The Single Life, Jesse.
Yeah.
And that Jesse was the same where everything's good until the counterpart does something, and then they use that as ammo for the future.
Yeah. This is the thing where you were looking for a reason to do this anyway, and then you glom on to anything. This is like Kyland of, oh, I have to vote out Tiffany now because I was supposed to get the HOH and then she didn't let me have it. And that proved to me that she was dishonest to me. So she has to go first out of the cookout.
Right. Right. And I think that, when that happens on the show, mm-hmm. it's going to be fireworks. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see where we all land on the Caleb VL. I've seen some stuff, Rob, about Alina and some of her social media activity in the past. And it's not good. Mm-hmm. That came to light this week. But so I think the internet has kind of soured on Alina a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then it's Caleb. So
yeah,
Caleb's never going to have the high ground either. So we'll have to wait and see with them. I still think Elijah's my favorite part of this couple, and I'm going to be sad when Elijah leaves in 2 mm-hmm. days.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going off of what we're seeing here on the show in terms of following this storyline, but that's going to be my prediction. It will be great, I think, then. I think then Elijah and then Maria probably are going to just read Caleb pretty good before he gets out of Turkey, but other than that, I feel like that this is where this is going.
I think
you're
right.
How can we make
your
life together when you were dishonest with me? It makes me think that maybe, you know, you don't really care about me because all my relationships are built on honesty and openness and integrity. And it's just, this is not the kind of a situation that I want to be in.
Yeah. We can't build a house when the foundation is rough. Yeah.
All right. That's what's going on with Caleb and Alina. Let's talk about Memphis and Hamza,
please.
Okay. All right. So this was speaking of a relationship, built on lies. We're going to get to, some heavy stuff with Memphis and Hamza. Memphis has had, quote, what a trip for Memphis.
I think this is nothing like what Memphis thought this trip was going to be. First of all, we find out that her stomach has not been in a good place.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Do you think that emotionally Memphis is feeling blocked?
I think physically and emotionally. Yeah, she needed the restroom, Rob. She was backed up.
This was a scene that I'm not tapped into what's going on at Memphis's house, but I have to think that Memphis must have been mortified. This is in the 90 Day Fiancé episode.
It is not great. It is not great. She has to use the bathroom, and Hamza, you know, kind of chills with her during it. Mm-hmm. And I felt very awkward.
I mean, yeah, and this goes on and on. So she needs to use the restroom. Okay, she needs Hamza to help her get to the facility.
I have to poop. My stomach hurts.
Sorry,
can we go poop? Is there a bathroom?
Why, baby? Why?
Did you say why, baby? Why?
Yeah. Why do you need the bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So they get her to a restroom. And then 90 Day Fiance, you could turn the camera off, right?
Leave her alone. Let her use the facilities. They have a camera on the bathroom door. Hamza sitting right at the door, like cheering her on almost.
Yeah. Do you want the playback on this?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right.
Baby?
Yes?
It's okay?
Yes, I'm still pooping.
Good job.
No, not yet.
Good job.
So awkward.
Now, okay, the one scenario I will say, perhaps, is there not a lock on this door? Is Hamza guarding against a walk-in?
It's possible there's no lock on this door. It's very possible there's no lock on this door. But then what I would argue is you could have turned off her mic at least. Why is she mic'd up still? And why is Hamza, like, be on your phone? Just, you know.
He is on his phone, for the record. But
he's paying attention, and mm-hmm, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Almost.
Baby. Finish it?
Me done.
And she comes out. she's holding her stomach. This is like the scene in Aliens where the thing like came out of like she's like she's been shot.
Yeah, like so based on the noises
they got me.
I thought I misread the situation based on the, I thought she's going to come out feeling like a whole new person. Like she needed this, but she comes out like sounding like it was worse, somehow. And I mean, I feel bad for her because you're still trying to, again, this all, we're talking about first impressions, Rob. If either of us had a similar, if the first time I'm meeting Liana, I'm coming out of the bathroom like this, I don't think there's a second date. I think it's done. Like it's bad.
No. She's not that vain, Puya. Come on.
No, she is.
She's a scientist.
But I'd be self-conscious, though. Yeah.
So she comes out and then, all right. That Hamza is going to get her a drink. They get like an orange juice that Hamza is like feeling like this is going to be a big hit. Memphis doesn't seem too crazy about it.
Yeah, he was like, good. She was like, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, fine.
It's orange juice anyway. If that's really what it is, it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs to increase her fruit and vegetable intake on this trip. Puya, yes.
No, go ahead.
Let's talk about Memphis's past.
Yes. So we find out that after the exchange they had the previous time with Hamza's mom, Hamza has got to thinking.
Yeah.
And Hamza's realized, I don't know a lot about Memphis's past. So I need to ask about this past and I need Memphis to tell me about this past. And, you know, Memphis takes this opportunity, Rob, and opens up about her mom and dad, which is the questions that Hamza asked, and I felt like they were getting closer here. I felt like everything was on the right track.
I mean, God forbid they talked about any of this stuff in the, you know, months and months that they have been chatting online, but let's get into it now.
Rob, we're getting one call a day. We're using it for sexy time. Okay. But, none of the other
big
stuff.
Big boobies. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So Now, I guess forced to, you know, okay, we don't have a room. You know, honestly, if I was Hamza's mom, maybe I'm going to take the computer out of his room.
Why is that?
What is he doing online?
You think he's doing other stuff online while Memphis is there?
No, I mean that the leading up to this, where we have Memphis is here. If I'm mom and I'm frowning on this relationship, maybe it's he's going to take the computer away.
I mean, listen, in our house, I remember my dad was like, all right, we're getting you to a computer, but we're going to put it in the living room.
Okay.
And me and my sister hated this because it's just like, it's there. And the way they placed this computer, it was like, yeah. You walk into the living room, you see the screen. And it was like, listen, we don't want this for nefarious purposes, but like, let us chat with our friends in peace. Like that mm-hmm. would be very nice.
Yeah. I don't think that was uncommon. I think that's been an evolution of like the computer placement in the home.
Yeah, well, especially, and that's when we used to have one desktop, right? I feel like now everyone, there's like two laptops in every house, a tablet. So mm-hmm. it's like, even if you wanted to do placements like that, everything's like so portable. So mm-hmm. a lot less likely to happen.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't even want to tell you how many computers are in just this room.
Oh God, Rob, are you about to, can I count?
Sure.
I think there's two computers. I think there's one laptop. I think there's your phone. And then let's throw in an iPad for the sake of sweetening the numbers.
Okay. You want a computer count and a screen count? Because some of these have two monitors. Okay.
I love a good tech setup. So tell me.
All right. I believe that there are six computers in this room.
Like desktop, like PCs,
laptops, Macs.
Damn. Okay.
And there are eight displays.
They're not all in use at the same time, are they?
I mean, no, not normally. I have my desk is in here that I like will sit and watch the stuff on. And then in the podcasting setup that I have the screens that I'm using for this.
All right. Well, don't let Hamza in your room. He might not know what to do with himself.
Yeah. But to go from one computer in the living room to look at this.
It's a full command center up here.
The command center. That's
love
right.
Love that.
Okay. All right. So we hear about Memphis's mom, who we met back in the first episode, she's better now. She had a problem with drugs. Dad had gone to jail. Is dad still in jail? I was having a hard time in the translation to Hamza of that he went to jail for drugs, but is he still there?
So I think, and I had the same problem, but I believe she said that he was out of jail when she turned 30. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago. Okay.
All right. So we come back sort of like mid conversation. We come back like after a commercial break and Memphis is hot.
Yeah. They kind of just threw us in this new scene and we find out why she's outraged.
Yeah.
Because she was talking to Memphis's to Hamza's sister, and Hamza's sister was like, yeah, Hamza's 3 years older than me. She's like, how old are you? I'm 23. Oh, that makes him 26. He lied, Rob. He told her he was 28.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's busted. And Memphis, this is a big deal for Memphis. She's mad. She's he's like sort of like smiling. She's like, oh, you think it's funny to lie to me?
He's doing the I don't know what you're saying smile. Like I've seen that before where mm-hmm. someone doesn't understand what you're saying and they just smile at you. It's 100% that. First of all, she's pissed at him because now the age gap is not 6 years. It's 8 years. Mm-hmm. And she's pissed at him because this is especially after she just opened up to him about stuff to find out that he's lied about something like this. It's more so the fact that he lied than the age gap is what she tells us.
Yeah. So she is, she's hot. Mom is like, I don't know why this is such a big deal.
Yeah. Mom's like, so he lied. He just wanted to seem older. Yeah. That's completely fine.
Yeah.
That's healthy. Which by the way, if you're Hamza, that is a big mistake because we are talking about how Hamza is a bit of a baby and like immature. So the fact that he seemingly was an older immature, that's not a good sign for him. He should have said he was 24, if anything, because then it would have matched up a little bit to mm-hmm. his maturity level. So
yeah. So Memphis is upset. This goes on for a while. Memphis has had rough relationships in the past. She's not coming out of the room. Basically she's willing to throw the whole thing away at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, obviously the family doesn't quite get it. And when Hamza comes in to try and diffuse stuff, Memphis immediately asks, well, do you do heating and cooling energy? Is that where you're lying about that too? Because we find out that he told her that's what he studied in college. And Memphis goes, get your sister. I want to know now. And the sister's obviously at this point playing the role of translator. And Memphis tells us, well, if he doesn't have a career path and he lied about that, then I'm out. I'm fully out. Mm-hmm. And then Rob, similar to, you know, you're at, you know, the airport, you're trying to get to your flight. You have to go through security clearance. Hamza has to now show documentation and proof of his college to Memphis here.
Yeah. Did Zed also do heating and cooling?
Zed had something similar, didn't he? I feel like that was something similar.
That's what he was gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what the trade he wanted to pick out, right?
Yes. So. Okay. So Memphis is thinking that maybe did you lie about your diploma? bring me your diploma, which is I think I would be a little insulted at this point. Like, let me see all your paperwork.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult to gauge because he just lied. So I kind of get where she's coming from, but then, you know, it's a lot of accusations being hurled around. Right. So, and especially if the family thought that she was blown out of proportion earlier, this seems way more extreme, but then he brings
up your resume. Yeah.
Rob, it's all in Arabic. So she doesn't even get confirmation of whether it's right or not.
Yeah, but they do present a paper. I get the sense that like the sister is an honest broker here. And she's like, okay, all right. Well, all right. At least you weren't lying about something.
Right. We'll take that. And I think, again, this is Memphis's big hang up is that she was just so honest with him and you know, vulnerable. And he lied about something as small as his age.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Memphis asked the sister to tell him to probably, okay, no more lying.
That's it.
Which,
no more.
Has this deal ever been like, no can do?
Right. No one's going to be like, I don't know if I can shake that. I kind of like that.
All right. A little bit more.
Yeah. What about one like a fib here and there? Can I do that? Like a little hoodwink. Mm-hmm. That'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So for Memphis and Hamza, where's this going next?
So the next episode, spoiler alert, there are going to be more frustrations between Memphis and Hamza. Memphis is going to be a little bit mad at him. So we'll see what happens with them. I think they fall somewhere in the middle for me on the success rate. On a scale of Ben and imaginary friend Mahogany to like, I don't know who's the most compatible between all these couples here. Damn, is it really maybe Mike and Jimena potentially?
Who's doing the best?
Good. Yeah, like who's more like where the scale is who's going to succeed, right?
I mean, might be Jack and Ella. Johnny and Ella.
Well, we'll see. Either way, I think Memphis and Hamza are somewhere in the middle. Like they have, they definitely have potential, but these last couple episodes, not a good look. Yeah. And this next one sounds like it's going to get a little worse.
Right. Bye week for Johnny and Ella this week.
They will be coming back next week. And on the next time on, we did see that there's going to be some drama and Ella's a little bit mad with Johnny. Thanks. And I guess there's been some delays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But we'll see. All right. Let's talk about Mike and Jimena because can I say poor Mike?
Poor Mike? I think you can say poor Mike.
I mean, for Mike, I mean, the man is being tested.
Yes. Yes. He's really going through the gambit here with Jimena.
He did have the best night of his life, but there has been a steep price he is paying. And that has been in multiple truth bombs.
There was a peak. They peaked very early, this relationship. And it seems like there's been some rough terrain. However, I think they both handled it very, very well.
Okay. All right. So Mike and Jimena, they're going to have some alone time. They're going to go to where'd they go to? Like some resort?
Yeah, like he planned a romantic getaway for the two of them so that they could be away from the family and just be the two of them. Doing, you know, couple stuff.
Yeah. All right. So Mike is going to use this opportunity, Puya, to say, yes. Okay. So you told me that you got your tubes tied. So what I was thinking is that we could have a baby and then you could just untie the tubes and this should all work.
Yes. To which Ximena does reiterate what she had told us, tells him, but I didn't get my tubes tied. I got them cut and burned. Mm. So no more tubes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can't undo. There is no, edit undo here, right?
So we can't do that. No control Z. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Chill.
Okay. So Jimenez is like, well, like, what about, Harold and Juan David? You could be their dad.
Well, he does say, he's like, can we raise them together? And she says she would like that.
Yes.
And I feel bad for Ximena because it really, based on everything we're learning from her, Ximena has met some awful men in her lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, just truly scum on scum. So I do, like, for sure see why she went the route she did.
Well, hold on a second here, Puya. We don't know these guys, okay? I tend to be... I don't want to disparage any hitmen on this podcast, that we are very try to be very fair to hitmen and hit women when they come up.
True.
We don't like to make any enemies on this podcast.
No. Other podcasts, hitmen, hit women. No, we're not out here trying to diss any of them.
Look, everybody's got to make a dollar. Okay, Puya.
Right. However, mm-hmm. in this specific mm-hmm. instance, with this specific hitman, I draw the line at being held hostage by my own partner. I feel like that is where I don't think mm-hmm. it's good. But basically, they agree on no more secrets from now on. And it seems like they've made up and it's lovely. Everything's good.
Yeah.
But then, Mike, sweet, innocent Mike, wants to dig a little deeper, wants to learn more about Ximena's past, specifically about the fathers of Harold and Juan David.
All right. So they're going to now have some hot tub time, hot tub time machine. Turn back the clock and talk about the past. And Mike is asking questions that maybe he should not be asking.
I mean, he's definitely asking questions I don't think he was ready for the answers for, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what happened to the fathers of Harold and Juan David?
So that's what he asks. And, this is where Ximena tells him, I've had aggressive partners in the past. I lived with a hitman.
I'm sorry. A hitman? Like,
a hit,
like Cody Calafiore?
No, not like Cody Calafiore.
Like
not
Derek Lavasser?
At this point, you wish that's the type. That is not the situation whatsoever.
Like,
we're talking...
Pauly Calafiore?
Is he part of the hitman? He's not part of the hitman.
Yeah.
He's a hit boy, if anything. Okay. So we find out that she was seeing this like tattoo artist guy who then she found out was a hitman
on the side, side hustle,
right? Side hustle. And then she was told by the hitman, first of all, she was locked up. Then she was told by the hitman, enjoy your 3 days because I'm going to take you out, and not on a date, take you out like done, like mm-hmm. goodbye. And then she reported this to the police and then mm-hmm. never heard from him again. Yeah. And that was 2 years
ago.
Although,
in fairness, the hitman is being more responsive to Ximena than Mahogany is being to Ben.
Yes, at the very least.
She at least got a full audio message from the hitman.
Yes, full audio message. And, she had met him in person. So the realness was there. I would be terrified, Rob, if I'm in this situation. Even if I haven't heard from this guy in 2 years, I mean, I don't know where he is. Like, I'd be paranoid the whole time.
Right. So, for that I don't even understand the timing on this, because that the fathers of these, like, did either of her children seem like they are less than 2 years old? So I do not understand
the timing
on this at all. Like, she said she met them both like one time and then did he show back up?
No. So she mentions that this was the man she saw after the boys. This was the new man.
This wasn't even a father of the children. So this is another guy who so that was somebody from the past. So, okay. So Mike says, that leaves me very scared for me and the boys. And the boys also makes us scared for all of us. Do you think that he might come back? She's like, well, no, I haven't heard from him recently. It's been almost 2 years.
So casual, which to me, gives big insight.
Yeah, you know, that was really like at the start of COVID. Like, that was so long ago.
Yeah, I think he's in the back burner. We don't have to worry about it. I mean, that to me is the biggest indicator of how normal all of this is to Jimena, like this, this heavy past, and she's just, I have to move past it and just be positive.
We have to put the 90-day fiance filter on this. When she says it has been almost 2 years, put that through. Let me get my translator out. Okay, now that she says that the hitman has been gone for almost 2 years. The 90-day fiance translates like, it's been 2 weeks.
You think that the translation messed up? Mike looked mortified.
No, I don't think that the translation messed up. But everybody lies and over-exaggerates and under-exaggerates and rounds up and rounds down. So, like, there's only, 5 years difference between us. Like, it's 10. like, I'm only, like, $10,000 in debt. It's 70.
Right.
So he hasn't been around in almost 2 years. Like, I think he's been gone for, like, 10 months.
Okay, there we go. All right. So that being said, Rob, this is Mike. And what have we learned about Mike? Mike will roll with the punches, baby.
Mike,
he'll be there.
Is a man that does not have a lot of other options.
Yes. And he's put a lot, he has romanticized the idea of him and Jimena being forever for a long time. So I don't think there's anything that's going to slow him down here. But you can tell on his face that he is having a lot of struggle.
He's having a lot of struggle. So, Puya, this is my idea for like a new Joe Millionaire type prank show. OK, so we have like a Mike who starts having this international relationship with a Jimena type. OK, she comes to the country, and then every day we come up with like the Joe Schmo show. Like, what is the next thing that we can tell him to see if he leaves? Like, how far can we go until Mike finally says, you know what? Check, please. I'm out. OK, by the way, I have to tell you that I am wanted by the FBI. And I am that we have to be on the lam. In this relationship. Like, okay, all right, well, I wasn't expecting that one. All right, that's something.
Okay, and for marketing purposes, we can name it Desperate Housemates.
Desperate Housemates, good, good. Season 3, episode 7 will be a banger. And how far do you think we could go with Mike Schmo?
Mike, outside of, the potential of him being held hostage, he'll be there. He is fine. Everything's fine. He's not. That's why I think they're the strongest, because I think that no matter what is thrown his way, he's good. He seems like he's struggling with it, but it'll be fine. And the next time on, we hear that Mike Jimena makes it very clear, I'm not going to live as if I'm your mother. Like, that is not going to happen.
She's going to start giving him some roles.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, Mike, I'm part of, how I told you I was wanted? I'm still part of the crime syndicate. We are robbing a bank tomorrow. We need you to drive the getaway car. Are you cool with this?
I mean, I don't, I'll be there. It's done. Yeah. I'm good behind the wheel. You got this.
I think that there is no bombshell Jimena can drop.
I think based on what she's dropped already, I don't think there's anything else that's going to slow Mike down at all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, though.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be, you know, proven wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah. Mike, I have something else to tell you. I've been catching up on 90 Day Fiance to get ready for our adventure together. And I have to tell you that I am a Jovi stan. I stan Jovi.
Listen, I could deal with the hitman, but I gotta draw the line somewhere, okay? I'm out.
I would let him go to any strip club. Yara is too hard on him.
Oh my God.
Let the man live.
Let her do what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's stop down one more time. We will come back and we're going to talk about everything going on in the world of Kim and Usman, and Gino got rocked once again by Hurricane Jasmine coming up right after this. Puya, I came to a conclusion this week watching Kim and Usman and the music video shoot.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel about it?
I would like to start a potential relationship with Kim. I've talked about it before. I've talked about it before that I'm thinking about it. You know, I have some of the people like on my team, Slam M says like, no, that won't look cool if you do that. But Puya, I need an advocate. I need a defender like Kim.
And let me tell you this, Kim would be the best defender mm-hmm. in all defenders easily. She would handle the business.
She would. She would. And mm-hmm. and that in some ways, I'm like Michael Jackson, right? In many ways, not like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I think based on the dance moves, I think you'd be one hell of a Michael Jackson. You definitely got that moonwalk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just think that, could you imagine, like, I could get Kim in here really just like tightening up this whole operation.
Yes. And Kim wouldn't be afraid to, you know, take things on and just, you know, take a handle it first mentality to all mm-hmm. this. And you would be, you know, living easy. It'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, really, if I could get Kim here and then like she could be putting Nicole in her place and not to mention like all the work stuff.
I think Kim can handle literally everyone in the organization, but I think she will come up short against Nicole. That's where the Nicole will take care of Kim. There's no world where that doesn't happen.
Okay. All right. So Kim is getting ready for the big day of the music video shoot. Which Soulja Boy shirt should she wear?
You know, it's very important, Rob. Every shirt can have a different meaning.
Yeah.
So
how much Soulja Boy merch is there?
I mean, listen, it's Kim. So if she's called a super fan, she must have all of them, all the mm-hmm. variations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Puya, Kim says maybe she should be dancing in the video.
Hey, listen, if you're a fan and you are flown out or you fly out to be a part of the watching the video go down, maybe you should be in the song. But when you don't know what the song is really about, which she doesn't, then it's a different story.
Do you think that most of the dancers in rap videos know what the song is about?
No, I think it's like you get, you know, called in to do stuff and you just pull up. You're like, okay, this is what it is. I don't know if you all, like some people might hear the track. I think it depends on how much you want to be involved.
Yeah. Okay. So Kim is heading down to the music video shoot for the music video shoot for Zara. Puya, and we got some backstory about Zara.
Yeah, so we learned a little bit about Zara. So this song yeah. is about Usman's ex-girlfriend Zara from the States, who could not handle him having female attention from his fans, so she broke up with him.
Seems like Soulja Boy really has a type.
Yeah, He does. Mm-hmm. Fans of his music who then do not like fans of his music.
Yeah. He said, likes to have these long distance relationships.
Mm-hmm.
American. Older women. Yeah. Although we didn't quite get an age on Zara.
I think Zara seemed more around his age range, but I have no idea of her.
Closer.
Exact
sure.
Yeah.
And so, and also, Usman has not revealed who Zara is based on a real person.
Yeah. Kim believes that this song is just about women named Zara.
All the women named Zara around the world.
If I was him, I would have said it's for the clothing brand Zara at this point, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that. This is one of those things, you know, we talked about stuff you keep from your partners. This is one of those lies that will come back to bite this mm-hmm. man. He's making a huge mistake by not telling her what this is about.
Okay. So Soulja Boy gets into on set and they're going to give Soulja Boy a haircut. But yeah, the power seemingly goes out mid haircut.
Not good, right? Especially when even, let's say the hairdressing equipment, the barber equipment was, you know, wireless because they've been charged. They still have to hook up all this, you know, they need the Rob setup. They need the six computers. You got multiple cameras, mm-hmm. multiple angles, and none of this is available. So definitely worth being worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the guys on the set, Slamty, Bad Moose, they're like, okay, this is, it's fine. It's fine. Let's get them on the set. We need to, like, time is money, people. Let's go. Let's move.
Yep. And the production, pretty sloppy, Rob. Pretty sloppy. Well, all over the place.
Kim is like, hold on. Wait a minute. This haircut's not done. Mm-hmm. You can't let him go shoot a video like this.
Kim spoke up, Rob, and she took charge. And I was very worried that it was going to get tense because she, no one really knows her, right? And she's stepping up and speaking up like she is a part of his team while his team's right there.
Yeah. One of the guys said that, I don't know why Kim comes in here and thinks she could boss us around. Maybe it's because she's so much older.
Slam tea on your head, Kim. Take that.
Spicy boom, roasted tea.
Mm-hmm. So she's hella hot. Tabasco, Rob. Tabasco. It's not a good. Okay. So it's this doesn't help
is
the
Tabasco
relationship.
Not hot sauce. Is Tabasco different than hot sauce?
No, Tabasco's hot sauce. Okay. It's just, you know, it's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's different. Hot sauces are different. Mm-hmm. Tabasco is a little bit more transparent, a little bit lighter. Yeah. You know, whereas the sriracha is a little thicker.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it seems like that Soulja Boy is not 100% in the game, Puya.
In the game? What kind of game?
Like, he seems a little checked out. And he's not having enough energy. He's there, but I feel like he's not there. He's not in the zone. This is not like Michael Jackson Thriller.
No, his mind is definitely wandering. I think it's one of those things where, you know, some stuff has gone wrong. The power's out. So he is scrambling in his head, but it's also left him helpless and he doesn't know which direction to go with this. His team is letting him down. Kim is like taking the reins here. And he told us that the reason Kim is here is a test for Kim because he wants to see if Kim reacts negatively, like other people have reacted negatively to him being around, you know, women around mm-hmm. his age. Yeah.
But yeah. I liked that Kim was like, hey, do it for me.
Yeah, I don't know if Kim fully buys what she's selling here, but when she's like, yeah, do it from pretend you're doing all this for me and it'll all be good. Your energy will be there. I was like, yeah. Kim, you are potential. You're not even potential. Like there. So,
yep. So I'm thinking like in this room right here, I think Kim is going to sit like right back, like over my shoulder and then mm-hmm. it's going to like, but I have to tell like Kim, like, you cannot laugh, like, loud when I'm doing the podcast. That's going to be very distracting.
And I think she might listen to you, Rob, depending.
She might have to sit all the way out there because she's going to be, she's going to be just, like, cracking up, mm-hmm. laughing hysterically, like, maybe literally rolling on the floor. L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-
I think you did that a little wrong.
I did it wrong? Yeah. No. He's literally laughing on the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to like, shh. Kim, shh, quiet.
I think she might have to be more so your Hamza and just stand guard at the door.
Hmm. She can be case. Like security, but she'll be listening.
Yeah.
She'll be listening.
She can listen. Yeah. You know, slam ab listens. She can listen.
Yeah. And you know, she's just gonna have to like try to contain herself, like at these hilarious podcasts.
It'll be very hard, Rob, because these podcasts are very funny.
Yeah. So okay. So she also says to Soulja Boy, she says, like, you gotta go out there, you gotta go do it. I'm gonna cry if you don't do it.
Please don't cry. I will do anything. I'll move mountains so you don't cry. Please don't cry. Okay, Kim, you can't do this.
I really wouldn't want to see Kim crying on the video shoot.
Yeah. Rob, to me, everything Kim is doing only further enforces Soulja Boy's decision to have her be the potential. She's doing all this as the potential, not even as the partner. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating to me. Because then what happens when she's partnered? Even more stuff? Like, already you're doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's passing with flying colors, I think. So, Kim also not crazy about some of the women in the rap video, right?
I mean, it's hard to be, right? She, you know, no matter how secure she feels or how confident she feels in Usman, she's got to feel some type of way seeing all these women and him in these like scenarios where he has to like do deep gazes. She tells us she hasn't even been like touched like that by him yet. So yeah, it's difficult. You know, the jealousy's there a little bit.
So I get it. And then, you know, Kim's not going to have to worry about that with me, like making the podcast. Like there's never like, any like times where I have to like do a podcast and there's like anybody else like hanging on me. So you don't have to worry about that, Kim.
I think at this point we should make it clear that you want Kim there as the boss lady, Kim, not as the potential Kim.
What's the difference? What's the difference, Puya?
I mean, the she's difference
potential.
Is,
she would be my potential.
Okay, that's true. I mean, are you going to, how far would that, like, are you going to keep holding her as the potential? What if the PS5 comes in? What if the seventh computer comes
in? Yeah.
Yeah. Again, she can be there.
That's good potential.
Yeah. Nicole will slam T her, though. I'm still telling you that. That is going to happen.
Okay, so they get the video shoot done and Kim's like, boy, they could not have done that without me. That's like, they did it, but if I wasn't here, who knows?
Legends only, Kim. League of her own.
So this was I thought a little weird of in the car, they get they get in the car and they're driving home, and then Usman lays down and goes to sleep in Kim's lap.
Yes. It looked a little more like motherly than coupling.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, I feel like that, like body language wise, I feel like there's something here.
Yeah. I feel like if you're resting on your partner, typically it's like in more of a cuddle motion where their arm is around you and you're like, you know, head on the shoulder potentially. But I don't know. Something about their body language didn't give me romantic, gave me platonic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Kim is going to take this time to really check Slam T and Bad Moose. It says, like, guys, that was amateur hour. Worst video shoot I've ever been to.
Of all the video shoots I've been to, this was the worst one. Yes. Only one, but the worst one at that. Yes,
and this was just complete garbage.
It's bold. Kim is bold, Rob. Kim is so bold. I'm the type of guy who I would have a hard time asking someone to, you know, put on music in their car. Mm-hmm. Or if I was to send something back, of our time. She's boldly telling these two who are literally employed by him to do all this, you're not doing a good job.
Can you imagine very upset right now. When Kim gets a hold of Akiva and says, these are the pitches you picked from the mailbag? What is this? Akiva, Rob is very upset. Rob is not happy. He told me.
Rob doesn't like that.
He told me. He's very sad about this.
Well, the difference is Keeve would just take that lying down. He would not talk back to Kim. He would never talk back to Kim.
Yeah. I mean, Kim could be like tweeting out every podcast, the best episode ever.
Rob, this isn't impossible. We can get Kim. Kim is attainable. Very much.
So. How can I get her that she's with Usman?
Yeah, well, maybe. We don't know. Well, let's see how the story ends. Maybe in 2 months we'll know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is she open to another potential?
I would say so.
Okay. Yeah. So Usman is very upset. He's really upset. Okay, so and Usman does chime in.
Yes.
He's a little Usman bit of a good cop to Kim's bad cop.
Yeah. And you know, I was shocked, but Usman's riding with Kim. He defends Kim and he stands up for Kim. And dare I say it's working.
Well,
Rob.
He says his feelings for Kimberly have improved somewhat. Not enough that he would kiss her, but the feelings have improved. They have gone from 0.5 to 0.6.
Listen, no
on
one
the
said
scale of 1 to 100.
It's improved, Rob. That's it.
Showing a positive movement.
Net positive.
12 more years, and he will think about maybe, you know, having some sign of like a physical touch with her.
Give me let's when the PS8 comes out and you purchase that for me, let's talk about it then.
Yeah. We have one other couple that we have to talk about still this week. It's Gino and it's Jasmine and oof.
Oof is right, Rob. Oof is right. This is they've really gone from I can't wait to see them to I'm so uncomfortable watching
them.
Yeah.
And Gino, I mean, we clocked from episode one. Gino is a stupid idiot.
Yes.
Stupid idiot. And we were looking forward to then him getting dragged by Jasmine. But no, I think Jasmine is off.
You think?
like Jasmine has gone from she's not well. I'm worried about Gino.
I think Gino needs to leave quickly. I think Jasmine is wiling with some of these demands, but I also like Gino, one of those things where the more I'm learning about Gino, he's a dummy and he's getting what's coming to him because he is a complying dummy.
If Mike, for whatever reason, opts out for the Mike Schmo show, I think we could very easily transition to Gino Schmo.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
How much abuse will this man take from Jasmine before he says, okay, you know what? Check, please.
Right. Well, that's so weird with him,
no
Rob.
Tip. Because you better not tip, Gino.
Don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Gino fascinates me in that he's had moments where he's clearly stood his ground, but then it's lightly standing his ground with a sea of regret right after. And then he's like, oh my God, I've messed up. Damage control.
What have I done? Okay. They go to the gym. They're going to go work out at the gym. And Gino is asking some questions, which are like, so what is that? That's a set that you do that. And she's like, Gino, please. I work out by myself. No talking. Yeah. Gino.
And can we clarify? They went to the gym. She's working out. He's sitting there in his mandals, just watching her.
Right.
And like gawking at her.
Right. Right. Gino has talked about before that he's had some sort of like shoulder injury. So I don't know if that precludes him from doing a workout. But OK, they're there. They're in each other's company. OK. Remember last time, Puya, where it was Christmas and Gino had no present that could possibly match with the T-shirt and pillow he got from Jasmine?
Who could? That would have been an impossible feat by Gino. Yeah. So
that he got a and he had no present for her, but Jasmine has finally figured out a way for Gino to make amends. She has planned a 4-day vacation for them to go on. That then this is his price that he must pay. This is his punishment. The 4-day vacation will be how he can make it up to her for no present.
Yeah. So she says, I have a 4-day holiday planned and you're going to finance it. And he asks, well, how much is this? And she says, $2,500. And he tries to retaliate with, like, I wish you told me the price earlier. And she says, this is cheaper than any trip you've taken with other women. And Gino seizes up and complies. And I got to say, Rob, this is the biggest finesse I've seen on this season, where she had two custom t-shirts done, let's say $20 a pop, and one pillow done at like $30, for example.
Yep.
$70, and in exchange, getting a $2,500 trip now.
She flipped it. I mean, Jasmine is a master of business. He says, okay, fine. She says, yes, obedient. That's how I like it.
It's so awkward. Why are we watching this? We shouldn't be there.
It was your idea.
I mean, listen, the show's my idea, but the cameramen should have felt too awkward to be there. Why were they still there?
Jasmine told them they couldn't put the camera down.
And they're all obedient, just the way she likes it. Okay.
So Jasmine says, okay, Jasmine cannot stop there. She is going to keep pushing. So Jasmine has another issue with Gino. She wants to go back to revisit. Now we need to pick out colors for your house.
Yes. Remember the colors we discussed? I would like to talk about them. I also want you to burn all the stuff from your stupid ex-wife.
Yeah. So I think that Gino is fine with redecorating the house, but Jasmine is seemingly for no reason just going off on Gino's ex, who was not even part of the conversation. He's like, because I don't want to look at the colors from your stupid B-word ex-wife.
Yeah, and it's very much like she keeps doing that, and it's very clear that Gino doesn't like that because, you know, she's got nothing to do with this, and, you know, there's no reason to just go in on her.
Yeah, and also, like, not for even if Gino did feel that way, like at least, like, Gino has, like, the presence that, like, oh, you know, maybe this isn't a good look for me to call my ex-wife a stupid B-word on television.
Right. Especially, you know, it's again, it's a defenseless receiver. It's someone who's not there. It can't defend themselves. Hasn't, you know, said or done anything since you've been in this relationship. But Jasmine is very territorial. Jasmine wants Gino to say, I belong to Jasmine. I am property of Jasmine. And the ways to prove that is to have the house be gutted and done in her styling. And that's the only way it's acceptable to her. And Gino is kind of fighting back and you know, defending the interior a little bit.
Not even defending. Just like, he's like, you know, it's just my ex-wife. You don't have, it was the same thing that happened last time. He says, it's just my ex-wife. You don't have to call her names. And she explodes.
And Rob, in the midst of all this, she says, I deserve to pick the colors because in the last few days, I've bleeped you more than she did in the last 7 effing years.
Yeah. All right, facts.
Facts are facts. However, is that a direct exchange rate of situations? Yeah. No, but this is Jasmine. We've learned that she will say what she needs to say to get what she wants. This is less money than anything you've spent on other people. This is, I've done more for you than she's done in the last 7 years. And, you know, this leaves Gino in a bit of a tough spot because I feel like he doesn't like when she gets to this place, but then she storms out of the gym, Rob, completely angry at him. And he tells us this is the most upset he's seen her.
Yeah. And so he is going to just, you know, try to stand his ground. And she says, are you her lawyer or what? are you still effing her?
Awkward.
Right. Yeah. As well. And so, and she then it's like, gets all worked up and she's like, see, this is what you do, that you make me crazy. You make me feel like I'm a crazy person.
Yeah. So she puts that all on him. Mm-hmm. He's the reason why she feels like she comes off this way, because if he wasn't being an idiot, she wouldn't have to sound
if he would just
insane.
Call his ex-wife a stupid B-word, we wouldn't have these problems. What is wrong with you, Gino?
What is there to not understand, Gino, you dummy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're with Jasmine, your ex-wife is a B-word and that's it.
Simple as. And honestly, it's like, if you're Gino, what can you say here besides comply? Because there's nothing else he can say that would work out for them.
Yeah. Okay. So Jasmine storms off. All right. Jasmine, later we see, feels like they need to slow down.
Yeah.
Jasmine needs a break. She cannot be with Gino if he is not calling his ex-wife a stupid B word.
That's literally the only requirement she has at this point. Mm-hmm. Rob, so.
She's been very clear that Gino, mm-hmm. it cannot look or talk to any woman, and also any woman from the past has to be dragged at any mention.
Yes. And then, Rob, we get more scenes with them. And the tone of the scenes between the two were so different. It was jarring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, yeah, this felt like, this was like, I really did feel bad for Gino, because it felt like that to me, this seemed like, okay, this is retaliatory, that you hurt me. Now I am going to hurt you. And not only am I going to stab, but I'm going to really twist and enjoy the twisting of the knife.
Yep. And folks, if you are confused as to what we're alluding to, she throws the bombshell, the full truth bomb on him. She has been taking birth control pills.
Yes. Okay. It says that she has to, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something, a reveal. Whereas, like, with the other reveals that we get in these episodes, this is not how Ximena, drops a truth bomb on Mike. This is not the way that we've seen, you know, some of these other truth bombs that slip out. And it certainly won't be the way that Alina tells Caleb about her living with her ex. She says, I have something to tell you. I am taking birth control pills. What? Gino, the man who brought pregnancy tests because he didn't have a baby.
Yep. And she says that she was afraid of getting pregnant because, you know, this is the first time they're seeing each other. It's your first trip. We're not ready. And honestly, this is the most sane Jasmine has sounded this whole season. Like, this makes full sense to me. Y'all are just meeting and, you know, you got to make sure everything's on the up and up and you're compatible.
Let the record show, this podcast is firmly in the camp of, like, Gino and Jasmine don't have a baby. Like, we stand by the decision for Jasmine to take the birth control pills. But
hell yeah,
she seemed to take pleasure in dropping this on Gino.
She was enjoying it, Rob. She kind of basked in the glory mm-hmm. of it all. And, you know, Gino's here trying to piece things. But what we agreed, we were going to, like, we said, if we get pregnant on this trip, it'd be cool. And no, she said, we're not ready.
We
and
are not honestly, ready.
They are
we
not
are
ready.
Not close to ready. Although, you know, based on last week's conversation, based on the, you know, Gino knowing that Jasmine is vegan and still trying to serve her eggs, I could see a scenario where Jasmine may have told Gino, yeah, I do not want a baby right now. And Gino is like, yeah, so when is the baby?
So baby, yeah,
baby?
Okay,
good. So I will bring the pregnancy test, and I will not, bring anything to protect us from a baby.
tune in next week when Gino brings along his ex-wife for dinner and says, "Oh, I think you wanted to meet her, right?
So yeah.
Here, yeah. Hang out."
So Gino, maybe you cannot take a hint. So perhaps that is one point in Jasmine's favor, but we're not ready. We are not close to being ready. And I need a nap. Get out of here.
Okay, you leave now.
Leave. Look, I can't even with you. This was too much for me to tell you I'm on birth control pills. I'm going to take a nap.
So speaking of too much, Rob, shall we discuss the next time on? Because we really go full tilt and pivot into a new scene next week.
Yes.
Which I'm not ready for. So Jasmine's friends organized a surprise party for her.
Oh, yeah. What's going on? Yeah, because her divorce is finalized and then getting a stripper.
And there's strippers, but then I don't think Gino's invited.
Who's Jasmine's friend? Jovi?
I think so, Rob. I think this is the return of Jovi. And he is out here, getting strippers in Panama. Mm-hmm. So he's international with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild because she's going to have all this. And then Gino's going to say something.
Yeah.
What's Gino is very much at this point has to stay obedient. And, it's
the man is not allowed to tip a waitress, let alone tip a stripper with $1 bills.
And meanwhile, Jasmine has a stripper on top of her. So I don't know how this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I expect a firework of fight next week. If Gino does not react negatively and tell her he's upset with her, then Gino becomes the number one nominee for our Joe Schmo Desperate Housemate show. He will surpass
between Mike and Gino. But yeah, he's not allowed to say that he doesn't like something.
Well, I know he isn't, but he really should.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the one time where he gets the high ground on this. You're being a hypocrite. I don't think he's gonna. But if he does, that's good. If he doesn't, he becomes the first get for that show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. What a week.
What a week. Fireworks, Rob.
Fireworks all everywhere. Around. Oh, my God. Mm. So much carnage in one episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
And let me tell you, all this does is make me excited for the next one. It's just going to get better.
Oh, boy. I'm stuffed. We ate today.
Oh, yeah. A whole meal and dessert. It was great.
And then we still have the single life for dessert.
We have the single life. It's more of a, when you leave a restaurant and there's a bowl of mints and you grab a mint, it's more like that. It's less dessert. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Puya, what are you working on this week?
All right. Let me tell you. So tomorrow, this week I'm doing a stream actually with you, Rob, you, Taryn, and Liana. We're going to try and escape a room virtually.
We're doing something that's very experimental. We're going to do mm-hmm. a live escape room. I'm worried. What if I stink?
Nah, you're going to be fine, Rob. It's a team effort. It's going to be a team effort. We're going to do it together. It's a collaboration. And I think we're going to have more synergy than Kim and Slamty and Bad Moose have. So we're going to get out of that room.
Hard to have less. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So
if I had Kim here and then, you guys blow the escape room, I think then that would be like a Puya. Rob is not happy. That was a disaster.
That was shoddy work. You have to know. You have to figure out. That painting was crooked, and you did nothing about it,
mm-hmm.
Puya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was on you, Puya.
I would not handle Kim well. I would not. Kimbali, don't come for me. Please do not.
Yeah. Oh boy, I guess I gotta hope that none of the other podcasters scoop up Kim as a potential, because I don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, no one does. No one should want to be in that mm-hmm. position, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so what else you got going on?
I am in the process of organizing a video game tournament for a game called Fall Guys. I'm doing the draw for that this week to see who teams up with who. It's random draw, so that'll be exciting.
How is the tournament going to work?
So I've got 20 people.
Yes.
I'm going to be drawing them into teams of two.
Yes.
And then there's going to be a first round. After that first round, four of the teams will get eliminated.
Wow.
And it's down to a final 12. And then in that round, best person wins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're doing that. And then obviously every week, Friday nights, I do a stream called The Pad where I take people's questions. We give advice. We talk. Some people get thirsty. We deal with it. And then Sundays.
How do you deal with it?
Sometimes I get
the hose.
Exactly. We spray them down with a spray bottle because they need to calm down. Mm-hmm. And then Sundays, obviously, Rob, we do our weekly Goose Goose Duck game,
yes,
which is a fun time with the squad. So.
Okay. All right. Puya, we got a lot of great podcasts coming your way. Season 3, episode 7 of Desperate Housewives with a Twitter Spaces mailbag on Robin Community Podcast. You popped in for that. It was a big Mari 4th weekend because in addition to talking to Mari on Season 3, episode 7 of Desperate Housewives, we talked about Singles Inferno on Nothing But Netflix.
And hey, Rob, like, from what I've heard on the internet, sounds like a fire of a show.
So. It's a fiery show. Very classy show.
Mm, lovely.
Very tasteful. Cool. Yes. Singles Inferno. By the way, also got some Survivor 41 interviews that we dropped this weekend. I talked with Ricard, who dropped that on Friday, posted our interview with Tiffany Seeley. Plus, the Amazing Race podcasts have been back 2 weeks into the Amazing Race. And I've been talking Joe Millionaire with Jenny Autumn the last couple of weeks. So plenty of stuff to do at robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. All right. Puya has got you 90 Day The Single Life update coming right after this. That's all for me. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé, the single life portion of this podcast. I hope you've had a lovely time listening to me and Rob talk all about the mess aboard 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day Season 5, but there's more mess here, as always, to talk about. And I say more. Honestly, it's more of the same. Like I said earlier, this is very much like having the dinner mint on the way out of a restaurant rather than sitting back and getting dessert. Because it's quick and we move. All right. So let's just talk about, first of all, the couples that were not mentioned. No sign of Natalie. No sign of Stephanie. Stephanie didn't even get a next time on. So we're not going to see Stephanie next week. But we did get next time on for Natalie. And Natalie's talking on the phone with the man she was just on a date with, the guy that she went on a golf date with. And she's talking about how she needs a man to show interest, et cetera, et cetera. More Natalie stuff. We'll get into that next week, but this week we have some other people to talk about. So let's talk about Jesse and Jennifer first. They honestly had the most segments, by most I mean two, on this episode. This episode was 38 minutes too, so it wasn't a lot here. So last we saw them, obviously, we were still dealing with the drama of Jennifer feeling like she was accused of being an escort by Jesse, who used the line, well, you went on a date with this man, you have a picture, does that mean he paid you? And that's where that ended. She tells us that she needs an apology from him to feel completely okay and move on from this situation. And Jesse, you know, digs his heels in a little bit, says, well, you know, you misunderstood me. And like, if you know me, you know, my heart's in the right place. Basically trying everything he can to not say sorry initially by saying, listen, my intentions are pure. So just because you took it a certain way doesn't mean I should apologize. Obviously, he loses the battle. He apologizes to her. They embrace and we move. All right. Then the next scene is them sitting at this like fire pit that he made outside of their hotel room, and he carries her through it. And she's like, yeah, you know, we are the fire, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's being, you know, nice and stuff. And she likes the gesture. She very much is into it. And then the producers asked them in confessional, well, if there was an animal that you would describe her as, what would it be? And he says, she's a dragon to me. And then she says something fountain. And then they talk about fountains. I don't want to tell you what they said because it was very, very not nice. I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable. And I don't want to make you listen to what I listen to. And more importantly, I don't want to reiterate them myself using my mouth. So we'll move on. But then Jesse tells her, back at the fire pit, that he has questions about Kakua. And again, he doesn't say Kakua. He says Kaka. He says cacao. It's very insulting and I hate it. But he basically says that he needs to learn more about their relationship that they had. And she says, well, it's mainly about what it was, not what it is, because it's nothing now. But you know what? You're right. Let's do a call with Kakua and you can ask him whatever you want. So then the next time on, we see that this phone call happens. So we're going to find out Jesse and Jennifer talking to Kakua, what happens and what is said. And the next time on, Jesse asks about, you know, the sexual nature of the relationship. And Jennifer tells Kakua, well, you need to tell him. He wants to know details. And Kakua, you know, shadily says, well, are you sure you want to know the details? And Jennifer does voice to us in confessional in this episode that she is concerned if Kakua will fabricate stuff just to make Jesse feel insecure. Now, that's interesting to me because I don't know with them. I have no idea what her relationship with Kakua was like. We've known them now for so many episodes. And even still, I feel like there is not a certain confirmation of did they go on a couple dates? Was this kind of like a fling? Was this a little bit more? Don't know the details. And I don't think we're going to get the details, to be honest, ever. So we're just have to wait and see what happens with this phone call with Kakua. That's it. Okay. Let's move on to Debbie, who had literally the shortest stint on this episode. It's the day after that whole drive to San Diego for this date. And she meets up with her and her friend Audrey, meet up with Colt in the lobby, and they have some back and forth. And Colt tells us he essentially wants to meet the guy as well. And then Colt is giving her a ride to the date, but then the episode ends. And we don't see her on the date, none of that. And then also, she's not on the next time on. So I don't know what that means. Are we going to see Debbie? Is this just a waste of our time? Most likely a waste of our time. But good luck to Debbie. You know, we hope you do well, and we will see where Debbie goes. Let's move over to Big Ed now, okay? Big Ed, the last time you saw him or you heard about him, he was pushing Coyote for a confirmation. Just tell me we're dating. Tell me I'm your boyfriend. And, you know, Coyote said, you need to let things happen naturally. You need to simmer down. You need to stop it and stop forcing the situation. And obviously, Big Ed didn't stop and she left that date. And then Big Ed had planned a cruise, a sunset cruise for him and Coyote for this date. And he had messaged her. He waited for the response, and then the show kind of did good editing where they made it seem like, is she on the boat? Is she not on the boat? Nope, Coyote's not on the boat. His mom is on the boat. So he took his mom on the cruise instead because Coyote didn't show up. Coyote ghosted him. So now he's all heartbroken, and this, I say a boat, I say a cruise. It's kind of like a yacht that he privately rented out for just the two of them. Think of Steven in the last season of 90 Day Fiancé the other way, where he proposes on the boat. It's kind of like that boat. And then ultimately he's, you know, sat to his mom, talking to his mom, and his mom gives him a little kiss on the cheek. And he says, what did he say? He said something along the lines of, well, it wasn't the kiss I was expecting, but at least I got a kiss. Uncomfortable. We can just move on to the next scene with him. And the next scene, we find out that, you know, he's leaving this morning. He's leaving to go back to the States. And he decides, let me message Coyote. I want to try and say goodbye before I leave. Coyote agrees to see him, but privately. So we don't see Coyote on this episode, but we find out that privately he went to see her and Coyote said, let's be friends. And then that translates. Big Ed says, well, you know, she said friends, so I'm going to cut my losses and leave. Big Ed literally would not leave this woman alone until she said, you are my boyfriend. And she said, I am not ready for that. It takes time. And then obviously he kept being so persistent that she calls it off. And he says, well, I'm going to cut my losses and leave. Big Ed ain't shit. But you already knew this. We already knew this. Okay. The next time on with Big Ed, he's meeting another woman and he has the same play. He says that, you know, there's this woman that he's going to make her happy. He knows it's moving fast, but he thinks this may be love. And we only see the feet of this woman. So one of two things is going to happen here. Either this is Liz and he's going back to Liz, or it's a whole new person that he's magically in love with out of nowhere. Either way, I'm not ready for it. And I hate that I have to deal with Big Ed, but Big Ed's going to be here. That wraps the three people that had next times on. Ed, Natalie, Jesse, and Jennifer are the only three that we saw a preview for next week. I don't necessarily think that means there's only three of them on the episode, but we'll have to wait and see for the next episode and see who is there. Last but not least, let's talk about Sinjin, who makes a return here. Now, Sinjin, last we saw him, he is now gone to Arizona. He's staying with his friend Aaron and his wife, and he's got the couch there. And they take him out for drinks to meet some friends, to mingle. He meets this woman there, and he asks her out on a date. And now we're getting ready for his date. He's like dressing up and stuff. He looks in the mirror. He's like, that's good enough for now. You know, he Sinjin out here being like, okay, I think I qualified for what I have in the arsenal. And then he tells his friend Aaron, you know, I got in all the crevices. I'm really nervous about this date. I want to make sure everything goes good. And then he decides I'm going to wear this lucky shirt that I have. It's like a button up that he, I guess, is lucky for him. So he talks about that. And then he tells his friend, you know, I'm not trying to do a one night stand. I'm not trying to bring someone back here. I respect your space. And his friend says, you know, this couch is yours. You can do whatever you want here. And, you know, I, as someone who has had guests before, who would stay on his couch and they've brought back someone to the couch, I don't endorse it. I don't recommend it. It is not a great situation at all. But, you know, luckily my bedroom was in the floor above, so I didn't, you know, have to be hearing anything. But then we find out Sinjin tells us that he is a loud haver of the sex. So he didn't want to bring anyone because of that. I was like, TMI, man, too much information. Please don't tell me all this. So then anyway, we go to their date. They're meeting up at what I can only describe as like a bar that's got a little arcade type situation. Like, you know, some skee ball, there's a dartboard. And this was the most awkward date. I don't know what it is with him. I don't know if he doesn't know how to talk to her or she's awkward, but there was a lot of staring into each other and like not saying anything. Ultimately, they decide to play some darts and he comes in confident, like, oh, I got this. You know, I'm going to beat you. And then he starts, you know, playing darts horribly, but he doesn't get macho about it. The masculinity is not tied into the darts acumen, which she said she liked a lot because him not being insecure about his abilities gives her a good sign. He then confesses to her that he was very nervous about this date coming in. And she tells him that she feels good about him saying that because, you know, she's been in some bad relationship in the past. She just got out of a long-term relationship and she wasn't sure about dating. So she feels comfortable with him. They walk to the car. There's like an awkward embrace, but then he gets the second date. It's very weird with him. And I don't know where it goes from here, but he's not even on the next time on. So I don't know. Did the date work out? Is there a second date confirmed? No idea. We will see when we see. Okay, that wraps up this episode. I told you it was mint. We're 10 minutes and we're done. Okay, so before you leave here, please, if you can, leave a rating or review for this podcast. It would mean the world to me. It will allow people to find this episode, this podcast rather. It will allow me to get your feedback, and I do appreciate that. So you can go over to robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, number 0, day fiance. Additionally, if you have any feedback for me that's not in the form of a review, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at Puyaism. You can either DM it to me or at me. I've gotten both types of feedback this season, and I do appreciate it from y'all always. So thank you for that so much. And then also, I do stream on Twitch about 3-4 times a week, and I have a lot of content coming your way there. So if you would like, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I am there, and you can use my Twitter to see when I'm live and stuff like that. Okay. So that brings us to the destination here aboard the Hot Mess Express this evening, folks. I hope you've had a lovely time listening, and I appreciate you being here. But I will see you back on the Express next week with Rob. Until then, take care. Have a good one. Goodbye.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.